Hey, Sixth Sense fans, Gordy Wilson here on the Olympic break. Missing you badly, missing you dearly, missing hockey more, though. But you can talk puck and hear puck talk on the Sixth Sense show with Graham and Tim, two of the finest.
Land in the face of death on the masthead. Hold your breath through late break and disaster. Mix the news of the trite. Codes, feelings, meant global. Like coke in the nose of the nobles. Keeps it alive. Wrath, riots, and the rage. She's on fire. In the music tanks with no red lights in sight. Got you
Well, Tim, are you enjoying your second week of the Olympic break?
I'm exhausted with reading Sidney Crosby's name.
Too much Ovi versus Crosby. Yeah, I'm a bit exhausted, a bit tiring.
Nope.
We had four medal performances.
No kidding.
Canada beat Russia in a freaking emotionally charged game. I'm spent.
I really hate to say it, and I know this isn't a tobogganing program, but I had no idea that there was women's bobsled. Absolutely zero clue. I was shocked, and bobsled is one of my favorite events in the Olympics.
I thought you always enjoyed the two-man luge.
That's because you're my partner, Graham. That's why I enjoy it so much, man. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Completely exhausted watching that Canada game. There was so much hype built up before the game. Everyone was sweating, butterflies in their stomach, all that nonsense. And then we get that game, 20 beautiful minutes of hockey, and then a slow decline.
It's just weird. Like, I'm just physically and mentally spent after last night's events. And maybe you think that's why I don't feel anything when the Senators announced that Brian Lee's been called back up?
That just means you're not human, Graham. I was keeling over. I almost had to go to the hospital when they called that Brian Lee.
What was it you said to Gord Wilson last week, though? I've been such a big fan of Brian Lee for such a long time.
And why, Tim?
And then Gord Wilson responds with, why?
Come on. Raise your hand if you haven't had a soft spot for Brian Lee.
Everybody gravitates towards the prospects.
Everyone loves the hope, right? The next great white hope. Whoever it may be, they'll lead us to the Stanley Cup. I just can't wait. Here's one for you. When Alfredsson retires, can you imagine how much pressure is going to be on every single forward coming through our system to be the next Daniel Alfredsson?
Yeah, everybody has a measuring stick. But I think once you realize it, there's never going to be another Alfredsson. I think once you get past that, then everything will be fine. But
exactly. It's like losing a dog and trying to replace it with the exact same other one and, you know, naming it the exact same thing. It's not going to work, right?
Snowball 1, Snowball 2, Snowball 3. Yeah.
You're just fooling yourself.
But I guess one of the biggest things with Brian Lee getting called up to the big squad is a lot of people believed that Ottawa was in a position, and a lot of mainstream websites were reporting this as well, that Ottawa was in a position to make a deal right away coming out of the Olympic freeze.
Yeah, a lot of people are suggesting that deals may even already be in place, right? Which wouldn't surprise me, but I think a lot of people took the time off over the break.
Yeah, but Brian Lee was called up today.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you say, well, obviously there's no immediacy for a move because they're going to showcase this guy for a week, probably until the deadline, you'd imagine, right?
Yeah, of course. Forgive me for throwing this wrench into your gears here, but the Senators started practicing again today.
Yeah.
And Brian Lee was just sent down, so he wouldn't be sitting on his ass doing nothing for the 2 weeks when the Olympics were on, right?
Right.
So that's probably why he was called back up. And obviously he was called up initially, probably to fill a void.
Well, Campoli's still hurt.
I think
Carlson's due to come back.
Yeah, it could have been a double-edged sword thing, right? It doesn't hurt that he's playing in the NHL.
Well, maybe they want to get him acclimated to the guys on the roster, too, so he's not coming in cold.
Yep, that's true. Like, what happens if we need this guy in the playoffs? If he's even still on the team in the playoffs,
God
right?
God help us.
Yeah.
If that's what it takes, yeah.
God help us. We know Brian
Well,
Lee's
mind you, he, like you mentioned a couple weeks ago, he was our best player, what, two seasons ago in the playoffs?
Yeah, that would have been like his September call-up showcase, I guess. In the
How sad is that in retrospect?
Oh, yeah. Just.
So I guess the silver lining, now that the Olympics are starting to wind down, besides Canada still being involved, is the fact that a number of Senators players are done.
Yeah. Jarkko Ruutu is the only one left playing in the Olympics from the Senators roster, right?
That's wild.
Kuba's gone. Mahalik's gone, yeah. Obviously.
I was worried about Volchenkov last night after he hit Corey Perry.
No kidding. They were taking some serious runs at him.
Oh, the fact that he came home unscathed is a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, and you could tell they were really singling him out after that hit on Perry there, and you could see them chirping Volchenkov after the hits, like Getzlaf being the big man.
You know it's bad, though, when you're watching him play, and you see Russia take a power or a penalty. And you're like, oh, fuck, Volchenkov's going to be blocking shots with Shea Weber. Good
Jeez.
God.
All right, Pierre, are you going to tell me about this rocket shot of his now?
No, Marty Brodeur's not sitting beside me, so I can't get into that.
Do you think Pierre snuck onto the ice after and cut the net out like in an NCAA tournament? Put it on top of his bed on the ceiling?
Sleeps with it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure, that too. Whatever you want to call it.
He's going to macrame himself a dress.
Gives all new meaning to the term five hole, eh?
Oh,
oh wow,
man.
I don't know if we can use that. So everyone's back healthy. That was our worst case scenario, right? The Dominik Hasek syndrome. So at least we can't pin it on the Olympics this year when everything fails miserably at some point, which it probably will. We can't blame it on Hasek, right?
So what are you looking most forward to? Coming out of the break, are you looking forward to Alfredson's 1,000th game?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we were talking about how this was a must-see game in Ottawa, like being there.
Yeah, we should probably buy tickets like this week or something.
Yeah, A, it's against Buffalo.
Well, it's projected to be against Buffalo, providing he doesn't get hurt.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, thanks, fine print.
Yeah.
And also, you get free t-shirts too, right? And plus, you can see Glenn Gower's list.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We put that up on the website today, but you can check it out over at Sen Central as well. But check out our blog for a link.
Sir, what format do you think that's going to appear in? Is it going to be a video montage?
I'd imagine some kind of montage. Maybe, I don't know.
There'll probably be some...
Maybe there'll be like some weird scrapbook kind of thing that they hand him. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe Alfie doing all the years of Alfredson, an anthology of the look.
The Jofa helmet.
Set to some really fancy Euro like runway music.
Not the Euro trash music, though.
The Jofa helmet. That reminds me of a good story. Anyways, we'll save the Jofa helmet story for a later day when we have some more time. And besides Alfie's game, obviously that's a big one. Just looking forward to seeing how the Senators perform down the stretch going into the playoffs. This is a team right here that could very well end up in what, in second place?
Yeah. It's kind of weird. It's only been two seasons, but maybe it was just because they struggled so poorly or so badly in that second half of 2008, that you can really comprehend how Ottawa's actually been fantastic in the second half, and it's an exciting time of hockey for Ottawa.
I wouldn't say they've been fantastic, including last year's second half, like since Klustin took over.
No, sorry, not under Klustin, but it was the year under Paddock.
Oh, okay, you're going
Paddock
back
got
then.
Fired. Yeah, because it obviously Ottawa didn't make the playoffs last year, so it's just it hasn't been that long, but it feels like it has, where Ottawa was playing meaningful hockey that you were actually excited to put down money and see.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we were saying this in the car right over here, and I said you'd be crazy to think that this team could not make it to the conference finals. And obviously, a lot of things have to go very right for this team. A lot of our question marks have to be, I don't even think they have to become exclamation marks for it. You know, they don't have to become points of strength. They can just become acceptable levels of NHL play, and we can do that. We just need to get some solid defense, some consistent defense, not necessarily solid, consistent guys who can help out the power play, both ends of the ice. And we need one of the goalies to really solidify themselves. I don't even know what's going to go on with that. I'm interested to see how that plays out myself, too, actually.
Are you expecting Pascal Leclerc to step up?
Fully.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Pascal Leclerc is going to be given every shot. Obviously, I don't know anything for sure. I just assume,
yeah,
based on logic, that Pascal Leclerc will be given a shot down the strip.
Well, I agree with Gord. I think it's going to be Elliott's job to start. But, I kind of feel the same way that you do, in the sense that they're going to give Leclerc every opportunity to recapture the job. Like, if Elliott takes any step back, I think they're going straight to Leclerc, and hopefully he takes the ball and runs with it.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want about the situation, but at the end of the day, they're resting Leclerc over the break. They didn't start him against the Islanders on that Sunday game or whenever it was.
Start him fresh, get him working on his technique.
Yep.
Instead of relying upon his athleticism to make some saves, yeah.
Get his confidence going. I was reading in the Sun today. Apparently he had a really good vacation there. Did some skating at Tremblant, didn't manage to hurt himself, which is absolutely amazing.
And that's a good Olympic break then.
Pascal Leclerc put on skates and didn't hurt himself.
There's probably no pucks on the ice though.
And Mike Fisher wasn't there either.
His girlfriend's not taking slap shots at his head, yeah.
I wonder if Underwood can shoot the puck. I wonder if he's taught her anything.
Probably not.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Speaking of celebrity girlfriends, Tim, did you read that story that Comrie actually proposed to Hilary Duff?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm surprised the article wasn't titled Best Move Mike Comrie Has Made On or Off the Ice in His Entire Career.
What? What would you do if Brian Murray acquired him for a third time?
Mike Comrie?
Can you fucking imagine that?
Well, first of all, my initial reaction would be I hope he actually takes a medical this time. That would be nice. Well, I hope however we bring him in is conditional. On our return to wherever Edmonton he's playing now.
Just give Edmonton a first-round pick to get him.
It'd be really ironic if Comrie... does he have a no-movement clause? I'd hope not.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't play for Ottawa.
To take this one step further, actually, Tim, we had an email from a reader. Actually, I kind of wanted your opinion on this because I haven't seen you in a while. But one of our readers emailed us and asked us a fair question. If it goes to this offseason, Carrie Underwood's from Nashville.
Yeah, sure. I guess so. I don't have her hockey card.
Well, I think that's where she's based because that's where Fisher spent the Olympic break, right?
Yeah.
So the reader asked us, he's like, if it was a total what if scenario, what if Carrie Underwood asked Mike Fisher to move?
Oh, complete no brainer. Obviously, he wouldn't.
You don't think so?
No, not in I'm not saying not in a million years, but I don't think so. I don't think he's going to let anyone dictate where he plays hockey besides him, his agent, and the general manager who he's currently employed by.
No way. If Carrie Underwood asked him to leave, you go.
Man, Graham, I don't know what kind of whipped history you have here. I'm not even going to divulge into that.
Oh, now you're making it personal, yeah.
No, I'm not making it personal.
If Carrie Underwood asked you to do anything, you pack your bags.
I don't even know where to start with you on this one. I can't believe we're going to actually have this argument here. First of all, Mike Fisher, staple in the Ottawa community, and I'm not saying that in some sort of garbage Wade Redden way where he does all the, the high profile and low profile, I guess, to public events and stuff like that. Mike Fisher goes to church here.
Yeah, because they don't have churches in Nashville. It's the South. Come on. It's the Baptist South.
I'm not going to say anything. I can't talk about the South anymore. Something bad would slip. Something bad.
No, but I get what you're saying. But
I'm not just saying churches and whatever, though, being part of the community. You just get the impression that Mike Fisher really enjoys it here. He's a Peterborough guy. He's close to home here. Ottawa's pretty damn similar. He gets a lot of attention in Ottawa. He does all those little commercials on the radio. And does he do TV commercials? I don't think I've ever seen him in one. I don't think he can hold the candle to Spezza, though.
He's on those George's Marina fishing commercials all the time on the radio.
Who's the one who does...
Neal? They're on it all the time.
Who's the guy who does the one for the landscaping company? I think that's Fish.
Yeah, it might be Fish.
Yeah. Anyways, so, he's a fixture in the community. He's played his whole career in Ottawa.
Yeah.
He likes it here. Obviously, what's-her-face there, Underwood, was okay with dating a guy.
What's-her-face?
Oh, come on. When you're dating Mike Fisher... Your what's her face?
Oh, I think you'd totally leave. I think you would, in a heartbeat.
Why would you? Because
he's doing it for her, right?
What are you basing this on? He's doing it for her. It's not going to be good for A, his career. B, she's a celebrity, and she's a... Oh, let me finish here. Don't get your hand in my face. She's a celebrity. She works when she wants to. Her only commitments is touring. It's not like they don't have studios here in Ottawa where she can come record her things, her American Idol songs. I don't see anything wrong with it. Mike Fisher has the summers off. Probably not going to be playing into June, possible, but there's lots of time there.
Mike Fisher is a selfless man, and I fully believe that if she asked, he would do it. He would acquiesce in a second.
You don't really think Mike's going to go out and pull a Heatley here?
No. I'm not saying... It's not like a bad thing, right? Like, I don't ever expect Underwood would even ask him to move. But, like... I can't believe we're even fucking talking about this. This is insane.
Who sent this email? Was it that guy who writes us all the time, who calls himself Ron Lowe and has the Senator Sucks email account?
Ron Wilson.
Yeah, sorry, not Ron Lowe. Jeez.
Ron Wilson, the former goalie coach. I think he actually might be the goalie coach for Team Canada.
No way.
I think so. See, look what he did to Martin Brodeur.
See, I heard a rumor on the internet that Eli Wilson was actually going to be the goaltender coach for Team New Zealand. He was working very closely with the consulate to ensure that all the paperwork was done.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so anyways, I don't see any scenario except for the fact that if Mike Fisher ever becomes a free agent again, without getting an extension or whatever beforehand, I don't even see that happening. Who knows if Nashville would even want
him. I don't see
it
happening, but I think if it ever came to fruition, he would totally.
Okay, well.
He would totally pack his bags and bam.
If it ever happens, Graham, you know, you got a 1 in 29 chance of it happening. I'll give you props.
There you go.
You just Matt.
That means something. And then Ron Wilson would be happy. He'll have the answer to his question.
Yeah, no kidding. What a strange question. Where does this guy get off?
Whatever. Who cares? I appreciate any emails we get.
Yeah, same here.
But speaking of thrilling news, Tim.
Is this more about Brian Lee?
No, it's kind of getting back to some goaltending.
Okay.
Alex Alder's wave today.
Nothing more exciting than a wave.
It is when you're bearing a $3.5 million salary in the minors.
Yeah, and it is when you're running a podcast that almost refuses to talk Olympic hockey. Dude, we're really drawing at straws here this week. Attention, folks. A former Ottawa Senators backup goalie was waived by a team in the South. Extra, extra.
At least it's Ottawa's not exactly a goalie graveyard. Like people like Patrick Lalime, Damian Rhodes, Alex Hall, they go their separate ways. They fizzle.
Yeah, they go somewhere else.
You never see them again.
Somewhere else and really fizzle out. Gerber.
Gerber.
That was a great
example.
That was a great one.
Rammery, not so much, but kind of.
He went to Russia. I don't know if he killed it there, did he?
Yeah, he was all right. He was an all-star.
Yeah, I remember that much. And obviously
he came back and then tore a labrum in his hip, and now he might be done for the year.
But he got pulled in that one game in Russia. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do.
That was a great one.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Unprofessional. That's what we've heard. That's the rumor.
Just disgusting. Just disgusting. But, all right, well.
It's been, sorry, I know you want to get into the interview here because it's going
to
be.
Well, yeah, because it's getting close to the time where we have to call. But
real quick, let's talk about what the Ottawa media right now is doing now with the Senators on hiatus. I've only seen a couple articles from the Sun.
Well, the team's practicing again, so we're going to start to see some more regularity with what's coming out, but yeah.
Yeah, but before that, it seemed like there was a lot of discussion about what the Senators were going to be doing on their time off, like individual personal stories, whatever. It's always good to hear that stuff, right? It's always nice knowing that Sean Donovan considers himself the, 600th best player in Canada?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's 599 injuries, then I'll be the guy who gets to go.
He might be the 600th best hockey player from Carleton Place. Just kidding, folks. Come on.
That Price is Right soundbite can go right in there. The other thing here is we're seeing everyone has jumped on their high horse. Everyone's publishing their own Senators defense rumor mill stories, eh? It all started with that Citizen Report.
Yeah, that's getting thrown around more frequently than Carol Ault.
Or Tina Turner.
Oh!
Shit! Wow, man.
We're going there.
Yeah.
We're going there. That's how you know the Senators aren't playing. Our podcast is completely degenerated to a certain extent.
I wouldn't even call that article a report. It was merely just a collection of suggestions.
But it's amazing how like one thought bubble gets passed around, it gets refurbished and it's like, oh, we'll put some pictures with the players' names.
Yeah, we'll switch the packages up that we're offering for these people, but we'll still recycle the exact same names coming our way every single time. Like, there's only been about, 5 to 10 names involved in the Senators rumor mill at this time of the year.
Oh, it's everybody who's an unrestricted free agent is headed towards Ottawa these days, it seems.
Oh, it drives me nuts. I just can't wait. I just hope that whatever they do it quickly so that way we just don't have to worry about it on deadline day, because I don't want to see the...
People love to speculate, though.
it gives them insight into a closed world that they don't have access to.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that hockey guys love, right? And all sports fans, what goes on in the dressing room. They want to be the fly on the wall at all times, right? A lot of these guys, I think as a kid here, when these guys were growing up, they didn't want to play in the NHL. They just wanted to be a fly on the wall in an NHL locker room.
Groupies.
That's a fly on the ground. Or your fly headed towards the ground.
Fortunately, we don't have to deal with the rumor mill on a day-to-day basis. No one gives a fuck what we do in our normal lives.
Thank God.
But one job category that has to deal with this constantly.
Imagine that being part of your life.
I know.
Like, that's part of your 9-to-5.
Yeah. But is the general manager of an NHL team.
Let's ask him about it.
All right. We're going to be right back with Randy Sexton, former Ottawa Senators general manager and current general manager of the Florida Panthers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, listeners, we're currently joined by the general manager of the Florida Panthers, who also served as the general manager of your Ottawa Senators from 1993 to 1995. He's one of the principal individuals responsible for bringing professional hockey back to the lovely city of Ottawa. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Randy Sexton. Randy, how are you today?
I'm terrific, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Not doing too bad, thanks.
Yeah, we're doing all right here.
How are you enjoying the Olympic break, Randy?
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. I really enjoy watching amateur games, so junior games. So I was out west and for 8 days and did a full swing through the Western League, and then I was in Ontario and Quebec the last 4 days, and then hopped a plane this morning in lovely Ottawa and landed here a few short hours ago in South Florida. And believe me, the weather's nicer here today than it was in Ottawa.
I find that strangely hard to believe.
Yeah, we had to drive through it on the way to the studios.
There's a lot of smiling people. A lot of smiling people getting on the plane today in Ottawa. Anyway. So I spent the last 14 days scouting games, which I really enjoy doing, and don't get a lot of opportunity to do during the season because of the job that I have. But the Olympic break afforded that, so it was great to get out and see some kids play.
I'm surprised you were able to go scout some junior games. I figured you'd probably be really busy with the trade deadline coming up.
Well, you know, there were really two deadlines. There was the deadline leading up to the Olympic break, and there were a few deals done, so we were busy there. But basically, the last week was fairly quiet. You know, some calls, but nothing heated. But the last 3 or 4 days have really picked up in terms of pace and intensity and frequency and focus. So, deadlines cause people to focus, and that's what's been happening. So, some calls last week, but it wasn't overly hectic, but the last 3 or 4 days have been pretty brisk.
Currently, I think you guys sit, what, like 6 points out of the playoff position?
We're 6 points out of a playoff spot, and the team in eighth has a game in hand.
So you're kind of in the same situation as last year. I know you don't really have like the Jay Bouwmeester situation kind of lingering over your team like last year, but how difficult has it been trying to get active as the trade deadline approaches?
Well, not difficult at all, quite frankly. We took a decision about a week ago, 10 days ago, to retool our team. And we're going to be buyers and sellers at this deadline, which is really the first phase of four phases to retool our team. The second phase will be leading up to the draft. The third phase will be free agency, and the fourth phase will be the start of next season. But we need to make changes here. What we've tried hasn't worked for 8 years. We've missed the playoffs for 8 consecutive years, and that's not been enough, quite candidly. So we're going to shake things up here. We're going to make some deals now. We're going to focus on having a different type of team than we've had in the past, and with it, all with a view and a belief that it'll get us to the playoffs next year.
Was it difficult, going back to last year, was it difficult to like hang on to an asset like Bouwmeester? Because I know he was unrestricted. We're kind of going through the same situation here in Ottawa with Anton Volchenkov. Looking back, is it tough to kind of look at it and say, kind of wonder if like maybe it would have been best to flip him, or was pursuing a playoff spot paramount to what your goal was?
Well, hindsight's always 20/20, but Brian, I'm not privy to what Brian's doing, but I'm reading he's trying to re-sign Anton, which I think is the right thing to do for the fans of Ottawa and for the team. In our case, Bouwmeester did not want to sign, so we were close to doing a deal at the deadline, but decided it wasn't quite good enough, and in the best long-term interest of our franchise and our fans, we felt we needed to pull out the stops to make the playoffs. Unfortunately, we came up short on the second tiebreaker. We tied with Montreal and same number of wins, but we lost head-to-head with them, so we didn't make the playoffs. Hindsight, we probably should have pulled the trigger on that deal, but, as I said, hindsight's 20/20. I'm not really familiar with what's going on in Ottawa with Volchenkov, but, good players are hard to find, and, we all try and work hard to keep them.
Yeah, so speaking of hindsight, Randy, you ran the Ottawa Senators as a struggling, recent expansion team. How did that experience prepare you for your current position this time around?
Well, it prepared me in many ways. When I was in Ottawa, we were not a big budget team. We were, we were an expansion franchise, and we were building the business and setting the foundation in place for long-term success. So we knew that we would build the future of our franchise through the draft, so we needed to be patient. And patience is a pretty word for saying, enduring a lot of pain, which we did in the early years. But, the Sens have benefited from that strategy and that approach. Here in Florida, we need to be patient, but in a different way. When I was in Ottawa, we didn't have players like Booth, Weiss, Horton, Kulikov, Frolik, Oles, Ballard, and Bokun. So we have a very strong foundation established here. Now what we need to do is move things around a little bit, redistribute some of our dollars and some of our assets to get enough pieces in place to get us into the playoffs. Because we really do believe we have not seen the best hockey from players like Nathan Horton and Steven Weiss and David Booth and Kulikov and others. So we think we've got a good upside, but we do need to get there. In Ottawa, it was about surviving and building the business so in future years could get to where the guys who followed me actually took the team.
You mentioned a number of assets on your team. Recently, like Tim and I, and like many of our listeners, we read a lot of the papers and we see a lot of the guys on your roster being mentioned in rumors. I guess over the last 15 years, one of the things that's grown in popularity has been the prominence of rumor journalists and rumor websites. How has that affected your job? And is it difficult seeing your players mentioned? And how do you feel about that?
Well, I would say it's probably more difficult 4 or 5 years ago because it was that, at that point in time, the rumor blogs and, the rumor websites were really kind of a blossoming phenomena. People have learned now that they're so incredibly inaccurate that they don't pay much attention to them. And, I was talking with a GM today and we're laughing about, some of the websites that are out there. And I said, I can't say about your team, but the stuff I read about our team is so wildly inaccurate that it has no credibility. And it really is an issue for the era that we live in where there's no accountability and no responsibility for things that are said or placed out on the web because it really does impact people's lives. For people who take those blogs and those rumor sites seriously, whether it's a player or a player's wife or a player's parents, it can be very upsetting to read that their son might be traded here, might be traded there, when in actual fact the accuracy of that rumor is usually zero to none. So it's 5 years ago was disconcerting. Now no one pays any attention to them because everybody knows 99% of them are highly inaccurate.
So going back about, I guess, 17 years ago, I'm going to ask you about a really old rumor that was, I guess, started by Roy McGregor in his book Road Games about the inaugural Ottawa Senators. He mentions in the book that there may or may not have been an offer on the table from Quebec at this draft. Was this, in fact, the case?
An offer for what?
For Alex Daigh, I think Tim's referring to.
Oh, no, there wasn't. Pierre Paget, who was a GM at the time, coveted Chris Pronger. And there was certainly a lot of interest in Quebec drafting Pronger. I forget where Quebec picked them. They were maybe 5 or 6 or something like that. But they were interested in moving up and getting our pick, but not to pick Alexander Daigh. It was really to pick Chris Pronger.
That's good. That's good to know because, I don't know, over the years we've always been led to that conclusion that trading Daigh was a viable option for the franchise. That's good to hear.
Well, if I understood your question right, what I thought you were saying was, well, the year that we had the first pick overall and we picked Alexander Daigh, there was a lot of rumor that Quebec wanted to move up to pick Daigh. They did want to move up, but not to pick Daigh. It was really to pick Chris Pronger. We had several offers to move up to pick first for Daigh. A lot of teams liked them, as did we. But at the time, we felt the best thing long-term for our franchise was to hold on to our draft picks, make those picks, develop those players with the expectation that they would help turn the franchise into a strong and successful franchise.
Randy, what was your favorite move that you made in your time in Ottawa, looking back on it?
Oh, wow. My favorite move.
Yeah, say you were in a job interview and someone asked you what your strongest skill was and you had to define your best move. What would it be?
Well, you know, what I think it might have been was I swapped either 8th or 9th round picks with Chicago for Troy Murray. And basically, I gave them our 8th, they gave us their 8th, and Troy Murray. And that was early in the year when Troy wasn't playing much in Chicago. And then later in the year, at the deadline, I traded Troy Murray and Norm McIver to Pittsburgh for Martin Straka. Troy played in the league one more year, and as did Norm McIver play one more year. And I want to say Martin played 14 or 15 years and just retired this year. So, you know, as a GM, you're always looking to build for the long term. At least I am. And trading two guys that I basically got for nothing for a guy who played 15 more years, I was pretty proud of. I thought that was a good deal that would have stood our team in good stead. You know, I was ultimately fired, and the GM who came in after me decided to trade Martin Straka, and that's prerogative. But, you know, there was an asset there that was good enough to play in the league for 14 or 15 more years after I acquired him, so I felt pretty good about that.
Randy, whenever Tim and I have a guest on, we tend to do a little segment of quick hits where we'll throw like a quick words or sentences at you, and you just say the first thing that comes to mind. Do you mind just doing that for a couple minutes? Perfect.
Sure.
Okay, Randy, the first question I have for you, what is your favorite Daniel Alfredson moment?
The very first day I saw him on the ice in Arnprior for the rookie camp. We picked Daniel in the 6th round, and we realized then we thought we were going to have a fantastic player and ultimately a Hall of Famer, and Alfie has turned out to be a great player, and I believe will be a Hall of Famer.
Who is your favorite role?
Do you want to work for quick hits?
No, that's fantastic. Favorite role player when you were in Ottawa?
When I was in Ottawa, Bill Hewitt. We were soft and got pushed around my first year, and Ray Sherrow and I talked a lot about it. We brought in Dennis Vial and Bill Hewitt, and I remember John Ferguson saying to me, "God, my God, Randy, he can't even do a crossover to the right." I said, "It doesn't matter if he can crossover, he can throw a right cross." And Huey was a fan favorite. He gave us toughness and respect and was a terrific role player for us.
If David Booth had been healthy all year, are the Florida Panthers in the playoffs?
We might be challenging for home ice.
Did you think that Richards hit was a dirty hit?
I did. And I still do.
Okay. And as soon as you're done this phone call, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Play backgammon with my son. I've been away for 2 weeks, and we'd love to play backgammon. My father says we fight backgammon because we're both so competitive, but I haven't seen him in 2 weeks, and it's great to see him again, and we're going to have a little game of backgammon, then I'm going to take him to practice and watch my son play, which I really enjoy to do.
Great. Well, I won't be the one to get in between fathers and sons in hockey, so we thank you very much, Randy, for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciated it.
Thanks
my
for
pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Randy. Take care.
You're welcome. Take care. Yeah.
That was a great interview.
That was short. That was sweet. That was fantastic.
Yeah, full of everything.
What else can you say about that?
Chocked full of all sorts of little goodies there. In case you were wondering, NHL general managers feel that rumor websites, at least two of them, one of them off the record, one of them on, thinks that they're highly inaccurate and that they actually share a laugh about the material in them from time to time.
That's fantastic.
That was great.
But that was a candid interview. He's very frank. It's nice to hear that the Dague rumor is actually a myth. Quebec actually wanted Pronger.
We can finally bury that what if scenario.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
That's one of our favorites, right?
It
would be like on Seinfeld if Jerry and George actually saw Superman. We don't need to get into that, but you know.
But it's weird because like for a number of years, I was always under the impression that Quebec wanted Dague. And we've heard names kicked around from Forsberg to Rutschinski to Nolan Nisakic to whatever, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
It's nice to finally have some clarity and some...
Yeah, because even when we asked Bruce Firestone about that...
He debunked it too, yeah.
Yeah, he denied it immediately.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're kind of left wondering, well, you know, there's got to be some truth to this somewhere, but apparently there isn't.
I was actually surprised at how candid Sexton was with his comments. Like, he didn't hide anything. It was fantastic.
Oh, no, and I cringed when you asked him about David Booth, right? During the rapid fire there.
Well, he's allowed to, you know, he's protecting his player. That's fine.
Of course he is, but it also could be said maybe he's, you know, making a statement about the league or about the league's response to an incident. Or lack of response.
Well, he's allowed to disagree with the league's judgment, though.
Of course he is. But generally, you don't see hockey guys wearing their hearts on their sleeve like that, right?
Oh,
or saying things how they actually are.
Brian Burke does it all the time.
Yeah, Brian Burke does a lot of things all the time. I find it hard right now to make a Brian Burke joke, considering what's going on with him. So we'll give Brian Burke a pass this week.
Well, at least when he can pick a team that has absolutely no salary cap restrictions, they seem to do okay. So there you go, Brian Burke. There's your compliment for the day. He's fortunate, though. He didn't have to trade anything to pick Phil Kessel for his team this time. One thing that I forgot to mention when we were cutting our first segment was I thought the Olympic break would actually be really good for Matt Cullen to become integrated with Corey Clouston's system and get to know his teammates a little bit better. And, I don't know, just get excited for the playoff push.
I'm not really sure how much time Cullen's going to have.
Well, he gets a week of practice time, right, before they start?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Clouston also said, like it was quoted in the paper today, that I guess today's practice was a hard skate practice. You wanted to get the guys sweating.
Get the tempo up, yeah.
Yeah, get the timing back, all that good stuff. Yeah. And it sounds like it's too early to start going to system stuff right now. But hopefully later in the week, or hopefully Cullen at least just gets an impression from what's going on in the practice and is able to get an idea of what's happening, and hopefully he can finish strong down the stretch for us. Can we talk about Bill Heward for a second?
Yeah, that's a name I wasn't expecting.
No, absolutely not.
When I think of like good role players from those days, I think of guys like, I'm trying to think of who was around in 93 through 95. Like Troy Murray would have stuck out.
Troy Millett. Basically.
Darcy Lowe and Mike Peluso.
Basically take the bottom three forward lines and you've got the role players right there.
Yeah. But yeah, that was an interesting name. You couldn't make a right hand turn. That's fantastic.
Crossover is not his strong suit.
Oh, man. That's good to hear.
Always good to hear these guys, you know, pimp guys like Denny Vial and Hewitt and stuff like that.
But those are always the players that you remember the most, right?
Of course, and that's important in Ottawa. I think that's something that we always got to remember to appreciate here. It's not always the guys who score the most goals.
No, that's very true. That's why Darcy Lowen still held in high esteem.
Where would you rate, if you saw someone in the Sens game wearing a Heward jersey, original, 2D logo?
I'd say that's very obscure. Not as obscure as Jason Zant.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you put it at?
For, what's the scale on?
1 being Pat Falloon. And ooh. 10 being Daniel Berthiaume.
Daniel Berthiaume, yeah.
Listen to you with your little French accent there.
That's fantastic. Steve Weeks would probably be really fucking garbage, too. I've seen a couple Grant Ledger jerseys, though.
What?
Yeah.
Were those at the Salvation Army? Did you walk in the door on the floor?
I'm surprised, though. There's some character players who've been around, and you just don't see their jerseys. Like, I thought there'd be a lot more Lance Pitlicks.
Yep.
A Jim Pack jersey would be fucking outstanding.
Jim Kite
would be a bit different. Maybe an Andrew McBain. I always liked McBain as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, he was just like that guy who'd stand in front of the net and he'd somehow get 20 goals.
Actually, doing that hair piece together with you, that was absolutely fantastic to go back through the Senators' history, because I just went to Wikipedia or wherever.
Yeah. You looked at the roster and then you're like, oh, fuck, I remember him. Yeah.
Image search right over.
List. Yeah, the players list. That's fantastic.
Oh, Pat Elenik.
Maybe that's something that we should incorporate into our site, though, like a list of some lists like that people could easily access.
A Sens database of sorts. That'd be good. Compile a list of what I want personally is a list of every transaction made in the Ottawa Senators' history.
Yeah, we could do that.
I want a transaction primer. All right, Graham, I think that's about enough filler for this Olympic break.
Yeah, thank God. I can't wait till next week when I'm enjoying the Canadian run.
But it'll be good to get back.
It will be freaking fantastic to get back talking normal Ottawa Senators talk. I'm looking forward to it. The websites and the blogs have been terrible for the last like 2 weeks.
No kidding. Everyone's dying for it.
I know. Starving for info.
So next week, we have quite a large show.
Yeah. Should be fun. The trade deadline's next week.
Yeah. And we're in studio on March 3rd.
And we'll be doing our live blog coverage. And we'll hopefully be hosting a show on Wednesday night next week.
Yeah, March 3rd.
And I don't know. Have we thought of what we're going to do for a format? I know you've been bugging me to do some call-ins from the fans.
I want to do a call-in show with some of the people.
All right.
Because think about...
My interest is piqued for that, but we'll consider it.
All right. We'll figure out a way to safeguard it and, filter everything.
Yeah.
So, you get the cream of the crop like Canuck Nick at the top, and then you have the guy who sends us those emails about what if.
What if Carrie Underwood thinks? Yeah, no. That's a good idea, though. My expectations are tempered, though.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens, right? We'll see what happens.
We might have a lot to talk about next week anyways, too.
Hopefully
so
sooner.
Keep that in mind. But yeah, next week, trade deadline. Keep reading the website. Keep listening to the podcast. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Bye, everyone.